there. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good, what is it, Tuesday? No, is it Tuesday? Yeah, good Tuesday morning out there, folks.
Wednesday? No, it isn't Wednesday, is it?
I don't even know what day it is. I think tomorrow's Wednesday. I hate these long weekends.
Boom.
Everything gets out of line. Everything gets distracted. And you wake up and you say, what day is it today? I don't know about you guys. Life is a rhythm, is it not? Isn't life a rhythm? It's like when I get done mowing my yard, I then in my head think, what's even sky high is even worse. I get done mowing sky high in my head. I think, okay, I'm going to have to do this again. And I go, let's see, I did it on the 4th. Probably going to have to do it on. Everything is a rhythm. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We fall into patterns. And we're most comfortable when our patterns uninterrupted. Like last night, Opie, we got a cat.
Right?
I'm getting some feedback. Somebody's got a microphone on or something. There, thank you. We got a cat. Actually, we're not even cat lovers, Michelle and I, but our son brought a cat home to us about, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, and he became our cat. So he lives in our house. And he wakes me up in the middle of the night. I don't know why. You guys ever had a cat that licks you? You're laying in the middle of the night, and that cat starts licking me. It licked my head, face. It licked my ear. And he gets me up, because he wants this special type of food. I mean, it's only 3:30 in the morning, right? Who do I care? I want sleeping patterns, what rhythm, that don't matter. So I got to get up, and I go get a handful of food and put it in Opie's dish. And we're all like that, aren't we? What do they call the biorhythms? Didn't they call them biorhythms? Don't you hate it when your schedule gets messed up? What is that about us? See, it's a comfort factor, I think. I don't know what else to call it. It's a comfort factor. And we feel good when we get up and our day flows. So today is the sixth day of July already. I don't even know where the first week of July went. See, Coach, what are you talking about? I'm just kind of heading somewhere, right? Because everywhere that we look around us, folks, our comfort zones are being manipulated. Our comfort zones are being destroyed. Our comfort zones are being interrupted. Our patterns of life that we fall into, they're all being disrupted. Are you picking up on that yet, friends? I mean, it started out with the virus and the masks and the 6-foot distancing and not being able to go to this store, my wife, Michelle, God bless Michelle. She's glad that the lockdowns are all over because the greatest stress that she would face when she'd get up in the morning, she wanted to go to the store. Will she have to put on a mask? Do I have to fight that fight just to put on a mask? Somebody give me a thumbs up. You know what I'm talking about, right? That's not just me. And if we can't understand that most of us do not like being shaken out of our comfort zones, that is our greatest, greatest weakness. We don't like being made uncomfortable. Bobby and Chad Estes are putting on a tactical training event this weekend in Pennsylvania. They got a sign up of, I don't know, maybe 30 people were already signed up, and more people are there's a few slots left if you'd like to go. It's still time to get in and sign up for it. But the reason I'm starting out this way this morning is because why? Because we don't want to believe what we see. We don't want to believe it.
coach.
Yesterday we showed the video of Carlos and had Carlos on, spoke yesterday, talked about the situation that we all find ourselves in. And we don't want to believe that that could actually happen to us someplace in the near future here. Now, we don't believe it. I mean, that's too bad that happened to Carlos. I had a conversation with Chad yesterday. I'm saying, look at my camera here, trying to get things up. I'm okay, I guess. Get the chat room up for me, Spencer. How the heck did I do? Oh, there it is. Okay, there we go. Let's try that. All right, now I'm good. It's all about disruption. It's all about disruption. And you don't know where that disruption is going to occur. So one of the good things that the Lord is doing, I believe, is he's beginning to shake us out of our comfort zones, our lethargy, our desire to sit around and do things just in patterns. Those are being broken. Now, whether they're being broken by the Lord or whether they're being broken by the enemy, they certainly are being broken. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. Got some good stuff.
Coach.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
Prime example of what you're talking about is we did not pray this morning before we started the show.
I did. You guys yacked through it. I kept praying. For those of you who don't know, that we have a pre-show. Some guys are in here 6:30, even earlier than that sometimes, and they get a chat going on. They're talking about the issues of the day, and you know it's all good. It's all good. And then I come in and say, "Hey, let us pray." And I said it today, and they didn't hear me because they were yapping. But I prayed, Joe. So thanks, man. But that would be a pattern breaker, would it not? It would be a pattern breaker. So I look up on the screen, and what we have right now says, "Go therefore conference, red pilling the church." What? Yes, red pilling the church. And I'm more convinced today than ever. I'll get there. Pray for Lori. You guys, pray for Lori. She sent me an email yesterday that her job is where she works. They're getting ready to make her take a COVID test every 3 days or something like that. More and more people are really being faced with this everywhere that they go, folks. COVID has gone away. Listen to me. Whatever we're dealing with now is not COVID-19. We know this every year. They bring out a brand new vaccination for the flu, right? Flu shot, got your flu shot. So I had one last year. Oh, no. That one last year doesn't work because it's a new variant of it this year. How long have we been dealing with COVID-19? Almost 2 years. Would that mean there's two different flus out there? And we know this now, right? That people aren't dropping over dead from COVID. We know that. They did everything they could to try to get everybody vaccinated. It didn't work. So now what are they telling us? There's a new one coming. So all of you who got the vaccine, you're going to get ready because they're going to tell you to take another vaccine. Why? Because it's disruption, friends. Disruption, disruption, disruption. I get chaos. Oh, Lord, thank you. Remember this. Pull up Genesis 1. Pull up Genesis 1 real quick, Spence. I'm kind of pray for Lori. Just pray. Lori asked for prayer. Just lift her up. Lori Shockley. Lori, would just be with Lori, Lord. Strengthen her. Place your hedge of protection around her. And all those that are dealing with those situations. Strengthen her in the moment. She'll know what to say and what to do. Just be with her in Jesus' name. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. In other words, dare I say this? Oh, we could really get into a deep theological discussion here. But the earth was chaotic. Okay? The earth was. What would your life be like if your day was without form and void? What would your day be like? Hey, Tracy, you're driving down the road there. What would your day be like if there was no void, there was no form or order to your day? It would be chaotic, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? It'd be chaotic. And so what do we see that the enemy is trying to do? He is trying to return to chaos, right? And the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Lord said, hey, let's bring some order to this thing here. Let's bring some order into this chaos. And he said, okay, let's start with there. Let there be light. So he said, let's make some light over there. And he made the light, and he saw it was good. Said, hey, that was a good idea. I came up with a good idea. We got dark, now we got light. He's bringing a little bit of chaos here, right? He named him. He called it the day good. Called the light, it was good. He said, the dark wasn't good. Wasn't good. He called the light day, and the dark, he called night, and evening, and morning, with the first day. God said, okay, listen, let's put a firmament in the midst of the water. See, God is taking chaos, and he's bringing order. Let's put a firmament and water. Let's divide those things. Okay, let's do that. Let's start to get things in order here. So God made the firmament, divide the waters which are under the firmament, and all its firmament was so. And God called the firmament heaven in the evening and the morning. That was the second day. And God said, man, that's a good idea. I'm just reading the scripture. And then God said, hey, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place and put the dry land over here. See how he's bringing order out of chaos. What's the new word? What does the new order? Folks, what is the mantra of the new world order? It is out of chaos, order. Out of chaos, order. God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed and trees and after their kind. Let's not have any mixing of the seeds here. Let's bring it up after their kind. So that'd bring us some order if we did that. And then he said, God said, let's put some lights up there in the heavens. We'll divide the night and the day. And well, this will be for signs. And keep going, Spencer. Keep going down there for me, man. And for seasons and for days and for years, order out of chaos. He's bringing order. And God made two great lights. He gave us one at night. He gave us one during the day. He said, we'll let that one rule at night. And it's that way people can sleep. And that one will rule today. And he's creating a day. And we now have order and to rule over the day and the evening and the morning. That was day four. He said, man, that was good. He said, let's do this. Let's bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. And fowls, let's create animals, right? And let's make birds and let's make mammals. Let's do it. So everything's going to reproduce after its own kind. And God said, man, that's all really good. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. This is all good. And that was the fifth day. See, God is bringing order out of chaos. Where did this begin? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was void and without form. There was no order. And so God said, let's make man in our image after our likeness. Because you know what? We have to have someone's going to rule over this thing. We got someone going, these animals are going to be eating it. We got to bring some order here. He said, let's do this. He said, let's give that man dominion. First time that word spoken, I believe. Control, dominion. Let's give that man dominion over the fish in the sea and over the birds and over the cattle and over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God said, I'll make me a man. He's going to do that. And he created his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. Male and female. Not male and male. Not male and male. Not female and female. You with me? Are you with me on this? There's an order to this thing. There's an order to this thing, right? And God blessed him. God said, it'll be fruitful and multiply. Can two men laying in bed be fruitful and multiply? Somebody say yes or no. The answer is no. They cannot be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So therefore, it is a violation of natural law. I was going to do a show today on natural law. I'm not ready to do it.
We said, amen.
We'll put man in charge of it. And listen, folks, this is why, be with me, Lord. This is why because we have dominion, right? We turned the sexual relationship into pleasure central. That's called narcissism. And the whole purpose of the sex act between a man and a woman was the possibility at any time of the creation of a new life. God did not give us sex for pleasure. Although sex is pleasurable, that was not his purpose. His purpose was, in the process of this love relationship of a man and a woman coming together, certainly it would be pleasurable, but the whole purpose of it was what? To be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And what did we decide to do? Somebody told us there were too many people in the world. And we started loving the sexual revolution in the 60s. We started having sex simply for fun, recreation, and pleasure. And we said, here's what we got to do. We got to stop that sex act from having babies. We can't have that going on. So we figured out something called the rhythm method. And the good old Catholics, I was raised a good old Catholic boy, don't forget that. Parents learned how to time their sex so they could still have the pleasure of sex without the possibility of reproduction. They didn't want another baby. They just wanted a little bit of enjoyment. With me? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Want a little bit of enjoyment. And we said, we make this easy. We can create a condom. We can get a condom. Get a diaphragm. We make this really, really easy that we can just have sex whenever you want to, and you don't need it with anybody. You don't have to worry about it. And then it got even more. Catholic Church, by the way, used to be against birth control. I don't know if they still are. They call it, it was a mortal sin, I believe. A mortal sin. Sex without the possibility of procreation was a mortal sin. I think the world was better then, right? So they gave people birth control so they could have sex. They could have pleasurable sex without any consequences, they thought. And they said, man, this is good. Hey, let's just come up with a pill. If we can just get a pill and a woman will take a pill, man, she can screw around too. She won't be like a man because, you know, the way this manly world is made, men can go out and they can have sex and they can knock up women. They don't have any responsibility for it. The woman's got to carry the baby. Let's equalize things here and let's get that woman that pill and then she can whore around and there's no consequences for her. You following the pattern here? And so now we've reached the point where it don't matter anymore. It's all about the pleasure of sex. And we've become narcissistic and hedonistic. And the Lord said, be fruitful, multiply. He gave us sex for a reason. Where did I start here today? Out of chaos, God created order. What's the devil going to do? Out of order, he's going to create chaos. Well, why is he going to create chaos? Because if he creates chaos, you will be crying again for order. And so they'll bring a new order to us. And we'll want it. Because I'm tired of Opie waking me up at 4 a.m. I have got to figure out a way that cat doesn't wake me up in the short of a bullet. I want you to know, I thought about that last night about 3:30. I thought of a bullet, but it would wake the neighborhood. So I didn't do it, right? I love Opie. I love Opie to come and sit on my lap. He'll come and lays on my lap and pet it. I love it. But not at night. Opie, I don't want you licking me at night. Why? Because it's chaotic. With me? So I want to show you the problem that we have. And Spencer, I think I just sent it. I think I just did send it to you. Let me see. It says truth. Friends, if we come to if we can reach agreement on one thing, it would be this. That the battle that we are facing today, have been really from the beginning of time. You have an adversary. We all have an adversary, but God has an adversary. God brought order. He started with chaos. He brought order, and the enemy, the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, has been doing everything he can to destroy the order of God. That's what's been going on. And so the battle today is over truth. That we actually have full-grown, deeply developed, college-educated, PhD people who will tell us that Bruce Jenner is a woman. Now, folks, that's deception at its highest degree. We have Christians who will say that God made them, that I am a man of God, and I am going to have anal and oral sex with another man because that's the way God made me. Folks, if that isn't deception, I don't even know what to tell you. I don't even know. Why? Because, see, we think sex is for pleasure. No. Sex is part of the order, part of the natural order. Scroll down to about verse 15, because Jesus ends up standing in front of Pilate. Let's just start at 17. And 18, and the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire. I think I'm in the right spot. Keep going down, Spencer. I did this. Let me make sure I'm in the right. Keep going. I know I'm in the right place. Okay, no, that's not. Jesus stands before. Here's what I'm looking at. There it is. Okay, thank you. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus ends up at the hall of judgment. It was early. And they themselves were not into the judgment hall. They didn't go in, lest they should be defiled, that they might eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, what are you charging this guy with, Jesus? What are you charging him with? And they answered and said to him, we made up some things. They said, if he wasn't a bad guy, we wouldn't have brought him here, Pilate. He's a really, really bad guy. So we brought him to you, even though Pilate had no authority over Roman. You get that, don't you? You guys know that. Pilate said to them, well, take him, judge him according to your law. He says, he's one of yours, you go judge him. Jesus said to them, it's not lawful for us. We don't have a death penalty, Pilate. We don't have a death penalty. We need one. We need one really, really badly right now. We got to get rid of this guy. So Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. He called Jesus and said, come on in here, bud. Come on in here. He said, are you king of the Jews? Jesus said, sayest thou this thing of yourself? Somebody else tell you that. Did you hear that from somebody else, Pilate? Or did the Lord tell you that? Jesus said, Pilate said, I'm a Jew, your own nation, your chief priest. They're the one brought you here. What have you done, man? What have you done to upset this world so much? Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. Oh, that would preach. I'm not going to do it now, but that would preach. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom's not from him. It's not from here. Pilate says, so you're a king? Jesus says, yeah. You say I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Don't miss this. Why did Jesus come into the world? To save everybody? Is that why he came into the world? To go get everybody saved? No. Jesus said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Because, folks, if there is no truth, there is no order. Oh, man, somebody ought to be amening. Because this is at the heart of where we are in America. So Pilate, sitting on the Supreme Court of the United States, a good conservative from Notre Dame, University of Notre Dame, says to him, oh, yeah, dude, what is the truth? There it is. That's a question reverberating against the halls of the dooms and the damned today. What is the truth?
Exactly.
And when he said this, he went out to the Jews and he said to them, I don't find any fault in this guy. Do you understand that Pontius Pilate was staring the embodiment of truth right in the eyes and couldn't recognize it? Pilate probably thought Bruce Jenner was a woman. He's probably the first one to start talking about that. He was probably the first one to tell you that you could be a homosexual and a Christian. That probably came from Pilate or one of his consigliaries, probably, right? And so the battle is over the truth. It is, I'm not trying to belabor this. I'm trying to get you to understand how important truth is and how we have stopped contending for it. We've stopped contending for it. We've gone silent. We've been told, well, that's your truth. That's not mine. Oprah brought that to us, living out your truth. As if there's different versions of the truth. That's what we saw happening with Carlos yesterday when he showed up and said what? He was defending the lady who said a man who has a penis is a man. He ain't no woman. truth. Not allowed to do that anymore. So Pilate, remember, truth, lack of truth brings chaos. It brings chaos. And the embodiment of truth was Jesus Christ, who came to bear witness, not to get people saved. It's a byproduct of truth. For this purpose came I into the world, right? That I might bear witness to the truth. What's it say in 1 John 3:8? This purpose was Son of God manifest. He would annihilate the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? He lies. Lies. Did God really say? It's the only weapon the devil has. Does God really say? Folks, deception is the only weapon the devil has. It's the only one. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he may go around and get everybody saved. Is that what it says? No. He might go around and destroy the works of the devil, because if he could end lying and deception, truth would prevail. If truth prevailed, we wouldn't need a Savior. All wrong behavior begins with wrong thinking. I got to tell you something. This is fresh, straight from the Holy Spirit. Because when I walked down the steps this morning, I didn't know how I was going to kick it off. Our battle is over truth. Okay, come on in, Jack, and then Silver. Go ahead, Jack. Go ahead, Silver. I don't hear you, Jack.
Okay.
There you are.
One of the things that Jesus was talking about when he was talking to Pontius Pilate. Can we get back to that scripture?
There it is.
Yeah. Scroll up just a little bit. Jesus said, he was asked if he was a king. Then Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice."
Amen, brother. Huh?
It's all preset. Seems what? Like to me.
Well, it's
well, part- no, I can't say that. But once you hear his voice, you don't move from that.
Joe, that's how you discern good from evil.
Correct.
That's how you discern good from evil. That's how we move from chaos to order. And now they're trying to take us back to chaos. They're trying to destroy the family. They're trying to destroy everything natural that you've built your life upon. You can't go to the store. You have to wear a mask. You have to social distance. They're trying to bring us back to chaos, because check it on the dollar bill. It says what? Norvo. Look what's on the dollar bill. Anybody know that? Norvo. Find it for me, Spencer. Come on, quit loafing on me. Norvo Ordos. It's on your dollar bill.
I don't have any dollars.
Come on, it's right on the dollar bill. Right, it's right on the dollar bill. Where is it? Where is it? That's a $100 bill. The $1 bill is on the back of the dollar. Nabas
Ordor Seclorum.
Right.
It's on the back of the dollar. Right there. Second one, Spencer, click on that. What's that? Annuit Septus. Novus Ordor Seclorum. What does that mean? Does anybody know what that means? On your own dollar. Anybody know what it means? Well, Spencer will look it up for us here real quick, because I didn't know I was going to go there. Type that in there. Norvo.
New World Order.
He's getting it, huh?
And while he's looking that up real quick, Coach, the one thing you didn't mention in all of the birth control stuff was vasectomies.
Yes. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, the phrase Norvos Ordo Seclorum on the American dollar says what? New order of the ages. Right there it is, boys. Right there it is. They're going to take you off of that gold and silver thing, and they're going to put you on a piece of paper, and they're going to inflate it all to hell. And then you ain't going to have anything, and all the rich people are going to own everything. They'll have all the gold and all the silver, and they're going to be laughing at us, and they're going to bring a new order out on our dollar bill. say, Coach, that's why I turn into this show. I never knew that. I never knew that. Come on in, Joe. Allen. Joe Allen.
Well, you talked about chaos, Coach. And what you just read there, we go back to the Georgia Guidestones.
Yep.
And we're going to have chaos because everybody's scared. They're under fear of being sick, and they're getting a jab.
Mm-hmm.
So here's our chaos.
Well, Joe, not only that, it's going to be a different. It's going to have to be a different jab because it's a different flu now, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they call it Delta Plus now. They got plus Delta, on the end of it.
Well, Delta variant, right? Right. Dummies, dummy us, right? And now you, well, it's coming. Gallagher, this wasn't even what I was going to talk about today, but let's ride that horse a second. Go ahead, Reggie, then Randy, and then Jack. Go ahead. Go, Reggie.
Good morning, Coach. Thank you so much for having your show. I so appreciate it a lot. I'm out to breakfast and still listening to you, and Dennis keeps going, huh? But I wanted to add to your list the Georgia Guidestones. I know you guys repeat it, which they're awesome. They're not awesome, but yes, they're very popular. But I wanted to just drop a line and have people research as well the Protocols of Zion, of the Elders of Zion. A lot of people like do not, those are older than the Georgia Guidestones, and it follows the same. And the other one was, there's an interview by Harold Rosenthal that people should look up.
Okay. Good stuff. Good. Reggie, this is so, so deep. And if I got into the depth of it, some of you are so programmed, you would tune me out. You would say, oh, he's going off the deep end now. I was with him crazy for a while, but I can't go there. I can't go there. Right. I can't. Well, that's a problem. They have conditioned you back into chaos to a point where, children no longer know who their father is. The most basic, natural thing, a mommy and a daddy, is gone. It's destroyed. Give me thumbs up. It's all over. And we don't even care. We don't. Reggie, they're stealing babies. Why are they stealing babies? Because they're in mommies and daddies. They want chaos, right? People want their libido fed so much that they're willing to go do dastardly things to little children. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And we saw yesterday with our good friend Carlos that the last thing those homos want, the last thing those pedophiles want is to be associated with transgender. Because the trannies are sick, they'll tell you. The trannies are sick. We pedophiles, we're not sick. That's just a natural. I was born this way, right? Huh? Oh, this is so deep. Oh, that's so deep. So deep. Come on in, Randy.
So, Coach, we have to do something in order to bear witness to the chaos, right?
We do.
We have to do something. God had to come to the earth to bear witness that he was the truth into the chaos. So, Coach, the church that's not willing to engage the community and engage the chaos, are they really the witnesses of truth?
Well, Randy, it would be like this. If I ran a restaurant, which I don't, but if I did, I ran a restaurant and I went out and hired some guy and commissioned him to be a sandwich maker. And he came in every day and he didn't make any sandwiches, but he got paid. He kept getting paid, but he didn't make any sandwiches. At some point, wouldn't I say to him, hey, pal, I hired you to make sandwiches. So, Coach, what's the analogy? I'm missing it. Well, are you saved? Well, he hired you to advance the kingdom. Hey, listen, he could have blessed you without you ever getting to know him. If he just wanted to bless you, he could have done that. You didn't need to be one of his children. He blessed you. He brought you to the cross because why? He needed an army. He's expanding a kingdom. He's winning a war against darkness. He's winning a war against chaos. How's he going to win this war against chaos? Through the people. We're in a natural world. It takes natural people to win a natural war. Yes, we understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Yes, I get that. Yes, I understand evil spirits in high places. The weapons of our warfare being not carnal, but mighty through. Yes, I understand it. But it's manifest in a natural world. So in order to move a natural mountain, I can't pray the mountain away. I got to move it. I got to bulldoze it. I got to get a shovel. I have to move it physically. And you ask the average person, what is expected of them once they get saved? They don't have an answer for you.
Coach, chaos can't fix chaos.
Chaos can't fix chaos. It can't. So as Jamie Walden taught us, the Great Commission is a military commission. You are to go. You said go. Where is that? Is that Matthew 28? Yeah, it's Matthew 28. Pull that up there, Spencer. Are you still awake on me this morning? You still are. Matthew 28. Go to the very bottom of it. Go to the very bottom of it. Clear at the end. And there he says, okay, here's your, hey, every one of you, if you're saved, raise your hand if you're saved. You don't have to. He says, okay, boys. Jesus came and spoke to them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Huh? Isn't that interesting? They came and worshiped him, but some doubted. They worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said, hey, I'm in charge now. All power. How much power? How much power, Bob Evans? All power, a little bit of power, some of the power. I don't have any power in politics. I don't have any power in education. I don't have any power in the media. I don't have any power in marriages.
All power.
All power, Jesus said, is given unto me. Me, Jesus said, in heaven and in earth. So therefore, I am going to commission you. I'm going to do a tag team handoff, and I'm going to take my authority and my power, and I'm giving it to you. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, therefore, and teach everybody. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And by the way, I'm going to be right there. I'll be right with you. In fact, Jesus said, I'm going to have to leave because unless I leave, the Holy Spirit can't come. And if I leave, the Holy Spirit, the guy who used to be with you in physical form, Jesus Christ, he said, if I get out of here, I'm going to send the wind, the Holy Spirit wind. And he that was standing with you, he ain't just going to be standing with you anymore. He's going to be in you. Wow. And he said, put on your badge. Put on your helmet of salvation and your breastplate of righteousness. Gird your loins with truth. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Carry the shield of faith, which is, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And go. Go what? Get people saved? Is that what it says? Does it say go get them saved? No. Teach them to observe all things. But Jesus isn't in control of the government, is he? He doesn't have any power in the government. He doesn't have any power in your local schools, in the educational system. We're secular there. We're secular there. We have no power. I don't mean to belittle the point with sarcasm. But you get it, don't you? Don't you get it? Don't you see how impotent our churches are in fighting for truth? And as a result, we are returning to chaos, saying it's the will of God. We got guys standing in the pulpit saying it's the will of God that the devil would be in control. When it tells us in 1 John 3 that for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he would destroy the works of the devil. Are we destroying? Are we destroying the works of the devil? Hell no, we're inviting them into the church. Come on in, Dale.
Brother, what a bunch of mouthfuls right there. My goodness, my mind is just racing. The fact of the matter is the authority. When you're talking about putting on the armor of God, it is the same kind of authority when a police officer puts on that uniform and the badge, and he can stand out in the middle of the road, hold up his hand, and stop the forces of a 4,000-pound vehicle. Yep. It's not the person, but it's the uniform, and it's the power and the authority that is behind that uniform. And, brother, those who doubted what you were talking about, Matthew chapter 28, those who doubted, brother, let me tell you, doubting the deception and deceiving and disbelieving, when they saw him, and the same one, when Adam and Eve walked with Jesus, or walked with the Lord, right, in the garden, they saw him, yet they still were deceived. And I tell you what, the church is deceived, because the church doesn't put on the armor of God. The pastors put on skinny jeans. They put on what they want to wear. Now, the last thing is, get your aluminum foil hat out there. The new Delta variant, right? The new Delta variant. You were showing the dollar bill, right? It is the pyramid. Remember that? It is that pyramid on the back. You know what a delta is, right? It's a triangle. It's a triangle, Coach. What's coming out of that? Oh, there's nothing to see here. Brother, this is the Novus Ordo Seclorum, the New World Order coming in, this new Delta variants, which is going to – we haven't got you scared enough yet. Amen?
Amen.
Brother, this is coming.
Okay, so folks, listen now. Stay with me here, okay? Can anybody tell me any sporting event in the world – where there is not a referee? And what is the job of the referee? Can somebody tell me real quickly, in any event, what is the job of the referee? In fact, wait a minute. When you take it outside of sports, you don't call them referees. You call them what? Come on.
Magistrates.
Judges, boom. Right? Boom. Judges, magistrates, officials, referees, right? And what is it that the Novus Ordo Seclorum tell us? Who are you to judge? Who are you to referee? And when Jesus said, we are the referee. But what do we? What's the mantra of the modern day church? Who are you to judge? Well, who am I to judge? You're the freaking referee. All power's been given unto you, both in heaven and earth. Go referee, will you?
Amen.
Go judge.
Amen.
Not good and evil, amen. Not people. That's right and that's wrong. Marrying a woman and staying faithful to her for 41 years, good. Sleeping around like a dog, bad. That's our job. That's our job.
And Coach, instead, I might be off.
Instead, judging people is bad. Judging is now bad. How did we get here on that?
Coach, I'm sorry, Danny. That thing that happened down at that small spa, when you go in a little bit deeper, it wasn't just the matter of the fact that those men had their little ding-a-lings. They had them pulled out with flicking them in front of children.
Dale, I got another video sent to me by, I think Paul sent it to me, of another woman who showed up in that spa and sat down, and they're naked in this spa, if you can believe that. They're naked in the spa. So she's sitting in the spa, whatever that would be, whether it's the hot tub or whatever, and some guy with a ding-a-ling comes and sits beside her and her 7-year-old daughter. And she is as lefty as you can get, and she was offended that his ding-a-ling was exposed to her No truth, right? Hey, whatever feels good, do it. Whatever, that's the mantra of the Americas. Mantras of the America, and the church jumps right in and say, well, who am I to judge? Hey, referee, throw the flag. Have you guys been watching the election? Aren't we just looking for somebody to throw a freaking flag? Somebody judge? Aren't we looking for one? Can't find one, can we? Why? Because out of order, out of chaos comes order. Goes back to Genesis. Man, this is a keeper. This show is a keeper. Come on in, Jack and Joe.
You opened up such a bag of worms, Coach. We could go on for 3 days without
stop. The money's not even real. The money isn't even real, Jack. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Money. The Caesar's money is that piece of paper that you are using with all those horrible symbols on it. The people's money doesn't doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. You see, this is what the people's money is. But we let knowledge become God, which created people like Hegel, which give us this Hegelian dialectic that you're talking about, which is why they're creating chaos to create order.
Because there is no truth. Friends, truth brings order. Truth brings order. Going in, Joe, then Clay, and Randy.
Isn't that what Dr. Tenpenny said? In 2 years, chaos is about to happen.
Well, sure,
Jack just took the word out of my mouth.
Yeah, because we're built on lies, aren't we? We have doctors telling us taking the vaccine is good. We have doctors telling that.
So they want order. They're going to create chaos to get rid of the deplorables.
That's right. And who are the deplorables? Those of us who stand on and fight for truth. We're the deplorables. Let there be no doubt about it. Come on in, Randy. Or Clay, I'm sorry, then Randy.
Hey, Coach, the Holy Spirit showed me something yesterday, and if you give me a minute, I'll tie it into your order.
You don't have a minute.
Can we pull up Luke 18:8? Can you read that right there, Coach?
I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
It says he'll avenge them speedily.
Right.
So, well, Jesus, they destroyed his flesh. And he was the church. So who's the church now? We are. We're the body of Christ. So if you're going to avenge somebody, what has to occur first? They have to be injured. So there's your order right there. The church has to go out and be willing to be injured before God can avenge us.
We'd rather sit in our house and be raped in our house than have to go out on the street and fight for truth. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, being a witness is first, it's being an eyewitness. So, Coach, I mean, I see all the problems. We see them, but I want to get to the remedy. What is the remedy? How do we fix this? The only way to fix it is truth, Coach. You're so on this. But now it comes down to me. What can I do to fix it? What can I do to be truth? What can I do? And if that's, I mean, this is what our whole program's about, Coach. It's equipping people to be
Randy,
truth.
The modern American, Randy, the modern American church will tell you can't do anything about it because it's just going to get worse.
Coach, this is why Betty can say in 5 months, you've trained her. We have been trained to be truth. Coach, we're getting trained every day on this show. I mean, churches, they have 10 services a week, and they're not training anybody that Noah got on an ark with a bunch of animals. I mean, there's no practical truth, Coach. And until this country starts walking in truth, we're just going to be little groups like us. We have to equip people everywhere we go.
You know why you're here every day? You guys are here every day because you're drawn to the truth. You can say what you want to about me, whatever your friends. There's something that draws you here, and it's truth. That's all it is. Come on in, Craig.
Hey, Coach. If our definition of what is good and evil is by pleasantness, we need to back up to Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, because God put in the midst. Notice he didn't put it into corners, and he didn't hide the tree of good and evil behind a bunch of other trees. Adam and Eve walked by that daily, and it was a conscious decision to hear God's voice. But if you look at it, Eve says, well, that fruit's pleasant and it's good for food.
Looks good.
So
yeah.
Sexuality, just because it's pleasant, it has its parameters, its guardrails that need to be used by God as defined by God. Remember, first mention of things is very important. And what did God do? He made man and woman. So this whole perversion of man on man or transgenderism goes right to the fundamentals of God, which is what Satan is always about, getting to the fundamentals.
And so there we were, Adam and Eve in the garden judging, right? Weren't they judging? Craig, didn't they look at that tree and say, hey, that looks like a pretty good tree? Isn't that judgment? Isn't that judgment? It's a pretty good tree. Hey, Eve, that looks like pretty good. Want a piece of that, Eve? Right?
Well, we like the lie more than the truth, God, coach.
Yeah.
Like the lie more than the truth.
Can I tell you the truth? Our Christian authorities have lied to us, folks. They've lied to us. Come on in, Kevin. And Jack, I didn't even get where I was heading today. MBH Digital, that's Mel. I'm sorry. Come on in, Mel.
Hey, good morning, everybody. So I was thinking about when you were talking about the deplorables and how they want to eliminate the deplorables. But, I mean, would that be us or the dumb people that took the jab? And why would they want to get rid of people that are so easily misled, unless it's just depopulation, like the Georgia Guidestone says? So that's that. My mind kind of goes in circles on that one.
I think, Mel, here's what I think it is. They're going to get rid of the dumb who just willingly took it, and then they're going to get serious with the rest of us. That's what I think. But by the way, that's where I'm heading. Pull up Judges 7 for me real quick. Come on in, Jack. Did I skip somebody? I've been. Am I missing somebody? Jack went in. Joe Allen. Somebody jump in here.
Well, look what just happened. We're talking about wrath. Look what just happened up there in British Columbia. A whole town burned up. No trees. Just the houses. And now we got our West Coast burning up. Record number heat. Wrath.
Wrath of God. Come on in, Mark Trump.
Yeah, I was going to comment on Mel's question. Why did Hitler want to save the Aryans and no one else? Okay, so there's been a genetic goal all along to save a certain bloodline. So there's one thought, is they're trying to sort through the bloodline and save the ones that they believe should be saved. The other is survival of the fittest. Radiation is creating a weakness in everyone. And the more and more of this stuff that's happening, vaccinations, healthcare, it's killing off the weak. So only the strong will survive that can overcome these things. In the end, the only people who can overcome nanos and 5G through natural resistance are going to survive. All the rest will die. They'll die. So it'll be the strong who survives. Okay? That's what I believe.
Amen. I'm with you, Mark. Hey.
The other thing, Coach.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
When you said, I think it was Randy said, where do we start? And we start with what we're already doing, what you're doing here, and it's the words. We can change the words that we use with everybody that we meet on a constant daily basis. That's the most simple thing we can do, is use the correct words. For instance, stop using the word inflation. Inflation is simply a red herring that has no definition. Call it devaluation. They have devalued your currency. Do you understand? They are devaluing your currency. There's no such thing as inflation.
Your property values aren't going up. The dollar's going down, folks. Your property value. Why is real estate skyrocketing? Because they're printing money. The value of the dollar is going down. Your house isn't getting more valuable. So the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. That's it. I'm going to talk to you real quickly. I got 7 minutes. I'm going to talk to you. Somebody said, what can we do? I'm going to talk to you about courage. Because where we're going, it isn't for the fearful. Now, therefore, go and proclaim in the ears of the people. There it is. We can hang up right now. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that the same thing Jesus said? Go and tell them. Go and tell them. And what does Gideon say? Hey, get up and go and proclaim in the ears of the people. So take courage. And he says, here's what I want you to say to them. Whoever is fearful and afraid, tell them, get the hell out of here. Go to Mount Gilead, Ohio, up there. Go get out of here. And look at that. 22,000 left. He weaned it down. A third of them left. As soon as he said, hey, if you're scared, get out of here. Two-thirds of them left. That's most Christians, by the way. Most Christians won't even speak up in their church. They won't even speak up in their care group, for heaven's sakes. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people, you still got too many folks there, Gideon. Yeah. So take them down the water. I said, I got a good test for you. Take those boys down there by the water. And it shall be that whom I say unto you, keep. So this is how you do it, brother. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, tell the ones to get a drink of water. And I want you to notice two things. I want you to notice some of them are going to lap the water like a dog. And he said some of the other ones, they're going to use their hand as a cup. They're going to cup the water and drink out of their hand as they keep their eye on the enemy. And he said, you go down there and you tell all them boys that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is in them. And those who just want to lap up as much of that water as they can, get rid of them. And you find the boys who are down there cupping it. Them's your boys. And he said, I'm going to tell you, I don't need everybody. He said, you just give me 300 men that have some courage and some trust in me, and we will create a way to win. Oh, this is so good. How are you drinking your water? Trouble comes around you, you stick your head down there and suck it up like a dog? Or do you take it out and lap? You know why I do it? I study people. When you're cupping the water and you're drinking it out of your hands, I'm studying people. I'm finding out who's in it for them. Who's in it for the benefits. Who's in it for the goodies. And who's in it for war. It came to pass that same night, the Lord said unto him, get up. Come on, dude. Because I've already delivered them into your hands. Isn't that what it says? Verse 9, it came to pass, same night, the Lord said unto him, got rid of all those phonies. Get down unto those guys, because I've already given them to you. All you got to go, just go mop them up. Just go mop them up. If you read the story, Gideon had two weapons. Anybody know what the two weapons were? They shined light. They had those lanterns. And they made noise. They hooped and hollered and broke vessels, pounded on drums, empty pitchers. They poured everything out and they went down there and broke bottles. And what happened? It's so confused. When I blow the trumpet, they're going to be confused. They blew the trumpet. Gideon blew the trumpet. Guys shined light, and made noise. And the enemy destroyed themselves. I want to encourage you. Why are the enemy going to destroy themselves? Because they're not standing on truth. We will win if we stand on truth. Now ask yourself this. Are they teaching it to your grandkids in school? Are they teaching truth to your grandchildren in school? Why not? If they're not teaching truth to your grandchildren in school, could you please explain to me why you have them there? And could you explain to me why you're paying for them to teach lies to your children when we know that their entire purpose is nervus ordus, whatever the heck that says in Latin. They're trying to destroy the natural course of the order of God. So men marrying men. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. Somebody help me wrap the thing up. Anybody? Nobody got a closing word for me today? I should have made you pay for this one. This is a real good one because I didn't even prepare this one. Yeah, go ahead.
I got you. All we have to do is turn everything up. We have to turn everything right side up, and we finish. We win.
Friend, hey, friends, listen. This is so simple. You have got to challenge lies. When you're sitting around with your family and you hear somebody say something that's not true, as uncomfortable as it is, you have to speak the truth. It's not true. We've been taught Republicans good, Democrats bad. That ain't true. Sorry, that ain't true. Divide and conquer. Oldest trick in the book. Oldest trick in the book. Boys and girls, it now is the time for courage, for testimony, for testifying, for judging. Now is the time to do it. What a time to be alive. We'll see you tomorrow.